Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is the brilliant young guitarist, Julian Bream. Julian, do you play the gramophone a lot?
Well, every now and then I play it. I have a very, should we say, antique, and perhaps the technical boys would call it a lo-fi machine.
Yes.
But I do, every now and then, I come back from a tour and play a record, and when I do, of course, I have a feeling that, well, I'm back home.
How do you feel you could face up to the solitude of a desert island?
Well, I must say, it's a frightening thought. I don't think I could face up to it without some form of music or an instrument or a gramophone.
Well, you've got your gramophone, you've got 8 records. What sort of tests did you apply in selecting the 8 records?
I don't know. I found that it was very difficult because there are so many possibilities. But on the other hand, I thought the great thing was to find something that would take me back to the most enjoyable and the most illuminating and exciting experiences of my life in London.
Yes, yes, the nostalgic approach.
Yes.
What's the first one you've chosen?
Well, the first one is the Schubert Quintet in C Major. To me, perhaps the greatest piece of music that has ever been written.
Which is your favourite section of it?
Well, I love it all, but perhaps just near the beginning when the main tune comes.
Part of the first movement of Schubert's Quintet in C Major, played by the Hollywood String Quartet with Kurt Reher, cello. What's your second choice?
Well, my second choice is an operatic aria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that I had ever heard or seen an opera in my life. I think I must have been about 15. And it was Dido and Aeneas by Purcell, and was given in that wonderful old barn, for sake of a better word, which Bernard Miles had in his back garden in his house at Hampstead. And I believe it was called the Mermaid Theatre.
It was indeed, yes.
And I remember going along to one of the very first performances, and the audience was very distinguished, and that was a terrific thrill. But the greatest thrill was hearing for the first time two delightful and wonderful artists, Maggie Tate and Kirsten Flagstad. And I must say that hearing Kirsten Flagstad sing Dido's Lament, When I Am Laid in Earth, has been perhaps one of the most moving experiences I've had in music.
When I Am Laid in Earth, from Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, sung by Kirsten Flagstad. You're a Londoner, aren't you, Julian?
Yes, I was born in Battersea.
A real Londoner.
Well, I believe that sort of makes me so.
Was there a lot of music in your family?
Well, there was some. My father was an amateur musician. He played the piano by ear in 2 keys, G-flat and A-flat.
Yeah.
And he also played the guitar, jazz style, which he took up in the war, as he was a commercial artist by profession before the war, and then in the war he was in a sort of munitions factory, I believe, and in order to make a little extra money, he ran a small dance brand in the neighbouring vicinity of Hampton on Thames, where we moved to.
Yes.
Just before the outbreak of war.
You began taking an interest in music at a very early age, I believe.
I was intrigued with it, let's say that. And my father put me on the piano, I suppose, about the age of 10. And then he used to have an odd guitar around the house, you see. And when he was away, I used to play on it. And I couldn't play any chords, I just played the open strings.
Yeah.
But I got a great deal of fun from that. And one day, he caught me at it, and I thought he was going to be very annoyed, but in actual fact, he said, well, if you're really keen to play it, why don't you study it properly? And so that was my real beginning on the instrument, and he started me off on a few rudimentary techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Of playing. And then, of course, a few years later, I was most fortunate enough to meet Segovia on one of his early post-war visits.
He gave you some lessons.
Yes, indeed. But the interesting thing is that it was Segovia not he in person, but a recording, which first convinced me that the guitar was the instrument which I wanted to dedicate my life to, though I never thought about it at such an early age as a sheer dedication. However, my father did bring home a recording of Segovia's, the first, and you must remember I'd never heard any guitar playing in my life before that, really.
You'd only heard jazz guitar
playing. Well, yes, a little that just on the radio.
Yes.
And so he brought this recording home and we sort of feverishly pulled it out of its packet and put it on the gramophone turntable, and after 2 minutes of this, or less than that, I was absolutely convinced that the guitar was going to be my life.
Yes. What was the piece?
Well, it was a piece commonly known as the Tremolo Study, but it has a title in Spanish, Recuerdos de la Alhambra, which is Remembrances of the Alhambra, you know, that nice old palace down in Granada, and the composer is Tárrega.
Yes. Is this something you're leading up to choose as your next record?
Well, I'd love that one if you have it.
Segovia playing the Tremolo Study, Memories of the Alhambra, by Tárrega. You had these lessons from Segovia that you were talking about, Julian. You also had a formal musical education as well.
Yes, I was at the Royal College of Music, the junior Saturday morning classes, and then that was the age of 13, and at the age of 15 I was fortunate enough to acquire a scholarship underage to attend the senior college.
Yes. The guitar isn't taught at the Royal College.
Well, actually, at this particular moment, it has just been introduced into the curriculum. But at that time, it wasn't even considered as a musical instrument. In fact, I never forget the director saying to me, I think in good humour, at least I hope in good humour, that one thing I must never do, that is bring the guitar within the shadows of the Royal College of Music.
What was your first professional engagement?
I think on St. Cecilia's Day, which is November 22nd, 1946. Because I remember that there was a most terrible tragedy in the musical world that day. Falla died.
Yes.
And
in 1946, you were just a boy.
Well, yes, I suppose. I don't know. I was about 12 or 13.
Yes.
And somehow this was a terrible tragedy, but on that day I kicked off, as it were.
Where was it?
Well, I played at a very distinguished Russian prince and princess's party in Knightsbridge. They were throwing a big dinner party, and I was asked to supply the music, and I was given what I now consider a little tiny fee. But at that time, I never forget, when I received this check, I thought I owned the world.
Yes. And your first full recital?
My first full recital was in Cheltenham in 1947. That was a year later. However, I had begun to work on the radio. I must say, in those early days, the BBC was a most wonderful support. You know, it helped me to keep alive financially and also to encourage me to learn new pieces and more interesting pieces than I would have otherwise played.
Yes. Well, let's break off here, Julian, and have record number four. What should we have now?
Well, I have one tremendous weakness in music, and it's for perhaps the very first instrumentalist I ever heard in my life, even before Segovia, and that is the great jazz guitarist Django Reinhardt, who died some 10 years ago. This man has been a tremendous inspiration to me, in much the same way as Segovia, but there's something so refreshing about Django. He was a purely spontaneous musician. And also, I do like jazz very much, or swing, shall we say. I believe you have even the very first disc of this person that I ever heard. I remember I must have been about 9 when I heard it. And this I would most certainly take along with me to my island.
Which one is it?
Well, it's a piece he composed himself, which is called Billy Doo. I believe that you can only get it on an old 78, and I hope that's the one you've got, because I feel a great affection for the old scratches too.
B.A. Du, played by the Quintet of the Hot Club of France, featuring Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. Something about the guitar now, Julian. How old an instrument is it?
Well, the guitar goes back to possibly, as far as we're concerned in Europe, to the 9th century.
Does it? When was it introduced over here?
Well, it was first brought over here, as it were, officially in the 17th century, when Charles II, who was a great lover of music, had several very prominent guitar players in his court. The guitar is one of these curious instruments that has suffered at the whims of fashion.
Mm.
And so you get periods when the guitar is frightfully popular. I mean, we can witness one now.
Yes.
And then you get these sort of periods when the instrument completely drops out of favour.
Yes.
But there have been great sort of European passions for the instruments. For instance, in the early 19th century and at this present moment, and also in the 17th and 18th centuries there was.
You extend the repertoire by arranging a lot of keyboard music, don't
you? Yes, particularly harpsichord music.
There are some major concert works for the guitar concerto.
Oh, yes. There are quite a few. In fact, the first one was written in the 18th century, in 1780, to be precise.
Yeah. The instrument itself, does a guitar mellow in the same way that an old fiddle does?
Yes.
Do you play an old instrument?
No, I play a modern instrument, alas, which is only 5 years old.
Yeah. Now, you also play the lute.
Yes.
Where do you get a lute from?
Well, this is always a great problem for anybody aspiring to play the lute, but I was fortunate enough to meet a very fine harpsichord builder in London, and he made one of the most beautiful lutes I think there must be in the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's a copy of a 16th century yeah. Italian instrument.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's have another record. What about number five?
Since we're talking about lutes, I'd like to just have a lute one. However, I'd like to combine it with a singer, because on the island, I think one of the things I would like to remember very much would be my acquaintance and work with my colleague, Peter Piers. And I think that for this reason, I'd like to have that lovely old Elizabethan tune, It Was a Lover and His Lass.
It Was a Lover and His Lass, sung by Peter Piers with Julian Bream playing the lute. Well, Julian, you make a lot of overseas tours these days. Do you spend more time playing overseas now than you do in Britain?
Yes, I would say on the whole I do, yes.
What's for the future? Where are you off to next?
Well, I've got quite an exciting season next season. First, I have quite a time in Russia. 3 weeks in Russia.
Your first visit?
My first visit to Russia, which I think will be very exciting. And then it seems now that I fly from Moscow to New York and spend about 2 months in America. And then I come back for about a fortnight, and then I go to Holland
mm-hmm.
and Germany and Switzerland and Poland.
Yes. Have you explored the Balalaika yet?
No, but I thought I might explore that, you know, particularly in America, where they always like a new sort of gimmick, you know.
Yes.
I thought in perhaps 1965 I might introduce the electric Balalaika, perhaps.
Let's have record six.
Well, now, this is something which I would have for sheer delight in sound. I find that this particular piece, it's the Barchianus Brasileiris of Villa-Lobos, is one of the most exotic pieces of music I know. It has the sort of curious classicism of Bach, tainted with a great deal of the atmosphere of the Amazon and the jungle. And I rather like this mixture.
The opening of Barchianus Brasileiris No. 5 by Villa-Lobos, sung by Bidu Sayal, with 8 cellos and a double bass. Julian, what kind of castaway are you going to be? How good are you with your hands?
Well, I'm not so sure that I'm so practical, you see, because I have to pluck the guitar and the lute with the fingernail of the right hand, and this is obviously a great drawback when you've got to try and sort of cut down trees or something like that.
Ever done any camping out?
Oh, yes. I used to be very keen on it, sort of cooking over an old fire and...
Oh, fine.
So I think I would enjoy it, providing I didn't have to give concerts on the guitar on the island too.
No, one thing at a time. Right, let's leave that and get on to record number seven.
Well, we've had some Brazilian Bach. Now, I'd like to have some Italian Bach.
Mm.
I'd like to have the Bach Vivaldi Concerto for 4 harpsichords. Delightful thing to have this on the island because, to my mind, it's one of the happiest pieces I know.
The opening of the Vivaldi Bach Concerto for 4 harpsichords in A minor. Well, now we come to your last one. What's that going to be?
Well, The last one's rather like the first one. However, if the first is my favourite piece of music...
That's the Schubert.
The Schubert Quintet. Then, surely, this next piece is my second best, or second favourite piece of music. And it is another quintet, but instead of having two cellos, like in the Schubert, we have two violas. And it's the G minor quintet of Mozart.
The opening of the first movement of Mozart's quintet in G minor. Well, there are your eight records, Julian. You're allowed one luxury on the island as well.
One luxury? I don't know. I've always wanted to compose a little bit. But I've never had time to do it, you know. It's strange, but always travelling and practising. And I've never had the sort of repose. And I find that being on this desert island would ensure me of at least that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd need paper to write the music, providing I'd had a pen, too.
Oh, well, we'll supply
Could you
that,
supply
yes.
a pen? Of course, really, I would love to have an instrument, too.
Well, let's assume that you've got your guitar slung round your neck when you get ashore, because we can't separate you from that. And one book you can have, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
One book. You know, there's a nice collection of 16th and 17th century English poems. I think I would take these. For one, I love the poetry. For two, it would take me back to the lute, because I've only got the guitar with me, you see. Three, it would give me wonderful inspiration and also opportunities to write songs and to set Elizabethan lyrics to music, which mm-hmm. would be one of the things that I really most want to do.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing those when you come back. Thank you, Julian Bream, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
Not at all. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.